from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's another warm afternoon, but it's very likely we'll be tracking some thunderstorms this evening. I'll tell you who has the best chance of seeing some rain.
Governor Roy Cooper ordered businesses to shut down during the pandemic. Today, the Court of Appeals said some of the closures were unconstitutional. We'll break down the ruling.
Jury selection continues in former President Trump's criminal hush money trial. We'll tell you if attorneys are any closer to seating a jury.
Well, like Brian said, it is an absolute beautiful day across our viewing area. Take this live look, Western Boulevard there, summer-like temperatures. Enjoy it while it lasts because there is some change in the air. And we'll talk about it this noon for you. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Brian Schrader is in the WRAL Weather Center with when this rain arrives.
We are seeing some high clouds already moving into the area. Take a look at our live camera in Franklinton. You can see some of those high clouds there. The latest live temperature reading out at Lewisburg, which is the nearest airport, now measuring temperatures in the lower 70s, 72 degrees. And we have that wind out of the east-northeast bringing in some cooler air behind a cold front. But take a look at Fayetteville. With some of those high clouds in the air there, you can see the temperature already is warm to 81 degrees. We have a wide range of temperatures because we had what's called a backdoor cold front that came in overnight through the morning, and it's pushing south. Behind that front, some slightly cooler air with those temperatures right around 70 degrees at the border. We're in the upper 70s now in the triangle, but already above 80 in our southern counties. And as we head through the rest of the afternoon, we're going to see a wide range of high temperatures, probably topping out right around 80 degrees in our border counties, mid-80s in the triangle, and maybe touching 90 degrees in Fayetteville and in the Sandhills. Notice those thunderstorm symbols, though. We have some showers and thunderstorms likely that will develop later this evening. The big picture here, that cold front that I just showed you, is going to start to retreat back to the north as a warm front this evening. And along that warm front, we're likely to see some showers and thunderstorms developing. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'm going to take a much closer, detailed look at the latest run of the Futurecast model to show you who has the best chance of seeing some rain and exactly when those chances will increase.
Thanks, Brian. Also new right now at noon. According to a court ruling released just a couple hours ago, some of North Carolina's COVID-19 lockdowns were deemed unconstitutional. This relates to a lawsuit filed against the governor on behalf of bars and restaurants. WRAL state government reporter Will Dorn here to follow this case. I know you've been keeping a close eye on it. Tell us, what was this case all about? Give us a little specifics on it.
Yeah, so this deals with the COVID lockdowns for bars and restaurants specifically. Now we're going back to 2022. They sued during the pandemic. They brought this lawsuit saying that Governor Cooper allowed restaurants to partially open, but not bars, and that was a violation of their rights, they claimed.
And the reasoning behind the governor saying that bars are different than restaurants, why is that?
Yeah, so he said that there are kind of unique concerns with bars. You know, people might be spaced closer together. Maybe there would be dancing, singing, yelling, other concerns like that. But the bar said they could have complied with all of the same social distancing rules as the restaurants. And today the judges agreed. They said that Cooper did violate the bar owner's constitutional rights since he had no scientific evidence to treat them any differently.
So what's the recourse here? What happens next? Does the state have to pay these bar owners for money that they lost?
Well, probably not. So the bar owners had brought a number of claims that could have led to financial compensation from the state, and the Court of Appeals actually shot a lot of those down. So while they did get a win on some things, they didn't get a win on everything. And it could go up to the state Supreme Court now. We've reached out to both sides, the governor and the bar owners, to see what might happen next. We have not heard back.
We will wait to see what happens next. Thanks, Will, for following that so closely. And for more on this ruling coming 4 years after COVID lockdowns began now, you can head to the NC Capitol section of WRL.com. Renee?
Will and Jeff, thank you. New court documents are revealing more about what happened before a mother was shot and killed during a custody exchange. WRL's Noah Klein is here with us now. And Noah, the search warrant gives us a better idea of what led to last month's shooting.
Yeah, Renee, exactly. This is an update in the death of Emily Steinhoff, who was shot during a custody dispute between her sister and a former partner. It happened in Smithfield. Dorian Thomas is charged with her death. Deputies say Steinhoff drove her sister to pick up her son from Thomas's house. Now, this new warrant states Thomas wouldn't open the door. After they knocked for a while, Thomas did open the door and shot Steinhoff in the chest before going back into the house and securing his gun. The warrant also says Thomas called 911 himself, and at some point in that call, he said he got it on video. Thomas remains in the Johnston County Detention Center without bond. Steinhoff's funeral was last month. She was an enthusiastic supporter of the performing arts, a regular volunteer at Raleigh Little Theater, and the mother of a young son named Miles. She was also an Army veteran, an attorney, and a nurse. There is a GoFundMe to help Steinhoff's family during this time. You can find a link over on WRAL.com. Renee?
All right. Noah, thanks for the update. A third person is now facing charges after a violent home invasion in Hope County last month. The sheriff's office says Cameron McNeil is in jail on a $750,000 bond. He's facing charges including attempted murder and robbery with a dangerous weapon. The charges are linked to a home invasion on Loop Road on March 2nd. Video from inside the home shows intruders dressed in black breaking into a home and grabbing a man. As Hope County deputies were trying to track down the intruders, one of them shot at a deputy's car. Deputies previously arrested Octavius Purcell as well as a juvenile. Deputies say more arrests are expected.
More jurors are excused and sent home as a judge tries to seat a jury in former President Donald Trump's hush money trial. All this comes as the DA's office filed a written motion to hold Trump in contempt for violating a gag order. Eric Shawn reports from New York.
I was paying a lawyer and marked it down as a legal expense. Some accountant, I didn't know, marked it down as a legal expense. I should be right now in Pennsylvania, in Florida, in many other states, North Carolina, Georgia, campaigning.
Former President Donald Trump returning to a New York courtroom Tuesday. The search for 12 jurors and six alternates continues in his hush money trial. Once they are selected, they will be tasked with deciding whether the former president is guilty of falsifying business records to cover up a sex scandal during the 2016 presidential race. He has pled not guilty.
There's no chance of a fair trial here. Remember, just because it's a jury doesn't mean that the judge can't sway them to go one way or another or make things difficult so that jury selection is impossible.
On Monday, the first group of 96 prospective jurors were asked if they could be fair and impartial. More than 50 said they could not be, and they were dismissed. One of the prospects said, quote, "I feel that no one is above the law, whether it's the former prez, the sitting prez, or a janitor." Another woman left the court telling an officer, quote, "I just couldn't do it." By law, the president must attend the trial every day.
The implications of this are far deeper for this country, because if in America we are able to just manipulate the law when convenient, then the fabric of this country is irreparably damaged.
That was Eric Shawn reporting. Meantime, the Supreme Court is weighing whether people involved in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol can be charged with obstructing an official proceeding. A former police officer wants a charge accusing him of obstructing an official proceeding dismissed. Former President Donald Trump himself faces charges of violating the same law, as well as conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding. The outcome of the hearing could have bearing on the election interference prosecution of Trump.
4 in 4 days, that's how many bodies have been found in Goldsboro, and their families want answers. WRL's Kelsey Coffey reports all these deaths, police say, may be traced back to drugs laced with fentanyl. Investigators here at the Goldsboro Police Department are searching for answers today. The police chief says these deaths do have some similarities, but they're working to find out if they're linked to fentanyl. Today, they're investigating these four deaths that happened over 4 days. Richard Lane on Friday, Billy Saunders on Saturday, Chanel Alves on Sunday, and Ebony Jackson just yesterday. The family of this woman, Chanel Alves, spoke with WRAL as they're waiting on her autopsy results. She was a 34-year-old mother of six. Her family says she battled with addiction.
A lot of people struggle with addiction. You know, if her passing away can raise awareness to that, you know, I think that would be a good thing.
Al's family is now pushing for resources to help people who are facing addiction. We'll be sure to stay on top of all four of these investigations and keep you updated. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Goldsboro.
The mayor of the small town of Sharpsburg is due in court today on his third DWI charge since being elected. Robert Williams' most recent arrest was in February. He was also arrested on a DWI charge in December. And in 2018, he was charged with DWI on the night he was voted into office. He was reelected in 2021. Next at noon, a fourth body has been recovered near the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse. With two people still missing, the action that city's mayor is promising against the ship's owner.
Also, the flame has been lit for the Paris Olympics, the long journey it will now make to France.
Plus, NZ lawmakers could make a decision on regulating so-called gas station heroin. At 12:30, what it is and why some believe it should be banned.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, a federal appeals court has overturned a West Virginia transgender sports ban. That ruling blocks a West Virginia law banning transgender girls from playing on girls' sports teams. So the court said it violates Title IX, which is a law that prohibits sex-based discrimination in schools. West Virginia is one of at least 24 states with a law barring transgender women and girls from competing in certain women's or girls' sports competitions. The bans are in effect in places like North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and others.
Michelle, thanks for that. In less than 2 hours, impeachment managers are expected to escort a pair of articles from the House chamber to the Senate floor, touching off hearings for Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. It'll kick off what's expected to be a short trial in the upper chamber. Some Republicans are demanding a full Senate trial and are fighting to drag out the process in a bid to shine the spotlight on what they see as Mayorkas' failure to curtail migrant crossings and secure the southern border. All 100 senators will be sworn in as jurors in the trial tomorrow afternoon. In less than an hour, Raleigh city leaders will consider plans for more affordable housing. The proposal is for $6.5 million in funds to be used to help build three developments. Those projects would be on Hoke Street, Lorimer Road, and Creech Road, and they'd create 230 housing units for low-income seniors. City Council meets at 1 this afternoon.
The FBI is opening a criminal investigation into the Baltimore Bridge collapse. A fourth body was recovered. Two more workers remain unaccounted for. The agency is examining reports that alarms went off on the ship while it was still in port, suggesting a potential power problem before the ship left port. Now, the mayor of Baltimore is promising legal action against the ship's owner, the manufacturer, and operator. But the owner and manager have already invoked a law dating back to 1851 that limits their liability only to the value of the damaged ship. A police officer in Indiana was killed overnight after coming into contact with power lines. Officers were called to a crash shortly before midnight. The deputy arrived on scene within 5 minutes of the call. A passerby noticed that the deputy was down, used his radio to notify dispatchers just a few minutes later. Officers say the deputy came into contact with the power lines shortly after arriving on scene. He was taken to a local hospital where he was later pronounced dead. An investigation is underway after a toddler was mauled to death by three large dogs in this Texas neighborhood. Police officers responded to the home following reports of a dog attacking a small child. And they arrived to find the one-year-old boy unresponsive with severe injuries. He was rushed to the hospital where he died. No word on charges or what will happen with the dogs.
Tomorrow officially marks 100 days until the Summer Olympics. The flame for the 2024 Paris Olympics is making its way now to the cauldron after being lit. That will mark the opening for the Summer Games in July. Following a lighting ceremony in ancient Olympia, Greece's Olympic rowing champion served as the first torchbearer before handing the flame off to France's three-time Olympic medalist in swimming and head of Paris' Olympic torch relay. After an 11-day relay across Greece, the flame will be officially handed over to Paris Games organizers in Athens. WRAL is your official station for the Summer Olympics. Workers are removing prayer notes from Jerusalem's Western Wall ahead of Passover. They're clearing notes placed in the cracks of the walls to make space for new ones. Visitors secure them, believing their requests might find their way to God. They're cleared out twice a year before the Jewish New Year and ahead of the Passover festival in spring. Once removed, the notes are buried in a cemetery on the Mount of Olives, overlooking Jerusalem.
If you look up at the sky this week, you may see some shooting stars. The first major meteor shower of spring is peaking. It's called the Lyrids. NASA recommends finding an area away from city or street lights, then lying flat on your back with your feet facing east, and then get ready for a show. In general, about 10 to 20 meters can be seen per hour during the peak, which is set for Saturday. But as many as 100 per hour have been recorded. Today marks 13 years since that deadly tornado outbreak in North Carolina. In 2011, our area was in a level 5 risk for severe weather. Many of us remember this day well. EF3 tornadoes touched down in Raleigh, Fayetteville, and Sanford. In Raleigh, one of the hardest hit areas was Stony Brook North Mobile Home Park. In that area alone, 27 homes were destroyed and 4 children died. A record number of 30 tornadoes were confirmed across our state that day. Just underscores the importance of being aware of severe weather and being ready for that when that happens.
Weather aware, that's what our team does here for certain. And as we head over to the WRO Severe Weather Center, Brian Schrader, it is a beautiful day out there, summer-like even.
We have some high thin clouds, Jeff and Renee, but I tell you, it feels sunny out there in most spots. Take a look at these cameras on our WRAL live cam network. There's a lot of blue there, but also we have some clouds, high clouds there in Lake Gaston as we take a look at the horizon there in the distance. Take a look at the live temperatures now. In Southern Pines, it's 81 degrees, 72 though in Lake Gaston. We have a very wide range of temperatures right now, and I'll explain why in just a moment. In the triangle, we're looking at upper 70s here at the noon hour. Taking a look at our other temperatures, live readings around the area, there's that gradient from around 70 degrees in our border counties, upper 70s here in the triangle, but it's much warmer in the Sand Hills and Fayetteville with low 80s already. That's because we have a cold front that has moved through the area from the north, bringing in some slightly cooler air. And we're going to have to watch that later tonight as it moves back to the north as a warm front. We're likely going to see some showers and thunderstorms developing. But before that, it's a nice afternoon to get outside. Certainly warm, temperatures way above normal, calling for a high in the triangle today in the mid 80s, probably touching 90 degrees in Fayetteville and the Sand Hills, but it's likely we're going to hit only about 80 degrees in our northern counties. There's that cold front as we take a look at futurecast. We're going to take that off so you get a good look at the showers and thunderstorms developing later this evening, putting this into motion through the rest of the afternoon. This version of futurecast has a few showers possibly developing in the Sand Hills around 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and then a pretty solid line of showers and a few thunderstorms moving in from the west as we head toward 8, 9, 10 o'clock, moving through the triangle around that time. And then as we get toward midnight, it starts to dissipate. I've seen another version of futurecast, one that we do rely on, that kind of keeps this activity south of the triangle. And I think that's probably the more accurate of the two solutions right now. It looks like it's likely going to be from the triangle area south that we have that chance of showers and maybe a rumble of thunder as we head into the evening hours. Nothing severe, but we could see some gusty winds with some of those thunderstorms, at least a couple of those. And then tomorrow we have some clouds moving in and a better chance of seeing some showers in the afternoon. Right now it looks like that would come in the morning and midday hours, maybe clearing out of here late in the afternoon, but we've added a 30% chance of showers for tomorrow. Taking a look at our 7-day forecast, warm again on Thursday with temperatures back up in the upper 80s, and then our next best chance of rain comes in this weekend. We have a cold front that'll be approaching. The jury is out on exactly when we could see rain and how much we could see and on which day has the best chance of seeing some of those showers. But at the moment, it looks like that Sunday might be the wetter of the 2 days. And we have those temperatures also cooling off around that rain and behind that front. Take a look at Monday, a big change from today with highs only in the mid-60s.
All right, Brian, if folks want to get out of the heat, you can join the Tar Heel Traveler tomorrow when Scott Mason treats us to some good eating across the state. It's a restaurant special he calls Yum. From breakfast to burgers, seafood to tacos, he digs in. What a delicious helping. Watch the Tar Heel Traveler special tomorrow night, 7:30.
In a world of texting, it only makes sense for you to be able to text 911 as well. It was a text to 911 that helped a girl who was kidnapped from Durham make it back to safety. Why officials say the texting capability is life-saving at 4.
Plus, taking care of the environment is important, but terms like climate crisis can be anxiety-inducing. We're telling you about a program that aims to reduce that anxiety while letting people know what they can do to help. That's at 5 o'clock tonight. Still ahead this noon, a warning about Cadillac EV trucks, the problem that could put drivers and passengers in harm's way.
And some people can't stand the thought of working out in a gym. So why not dance your way to fitness? We'll share some expert advice before you hit the dance floor.
Bring you back this noon with this live look in Zebulon right now. Those high clouds still above Zebulon and many other parts of our viewing area here. I don't know if anybody gets straighter lines mowing, though, than that yard right in front. It's a beautiful shot right there. A list of the world's top 10 busiest airports is out, and chances are you've passed through one of the many U.S. locations that made it. And Rice Krispie Treats debut a new flavor mashup. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Abrams.
Tesla plans to lay off more than 10% of its global workforce, the latest hit after losing 31% in share value so far this year. In a memo to workers Monday, CEO Elon Musk said the cuts are needed to increase productivity and reduce cost. The company has also faced increasing pressure from other electric vehicle competitors and slowing EV sales. As of last December, Tesla employed over 140,000 people worldwide. The company is expected to release its first quarter earnings on April 23rd. The latest rankings of the world's busiest airports is out, and the U.S. continues to dominate. Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport remains solidly at the top, surpassing all others in passenger volume for 2023, over 104 million people a year, according to Airports Council International. Second on their list, Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, with 87 million passengers yearly. Other U.S. airports in the top 10 include Dallas-Fort Worth in third, Denver, Colorado in sixth, Los Angeles in eighth place, and Chicago's O'Hare in ninth. There's a new taste in town for those iconic little bricks of marshmallow and rice cereal goodness. The new Rice Krispie Treats chocolatey peanut butter flavor is out this spring wherever you buy your favorite snacks. Kellanova, formerly Kellogg's, says fans have been asking for this sweet and salty mashup for years. The new flavor mixes peanut butter in with the rice cereal and a layer of chocolate across the bottom. Rice Krispie Treats were introduced in 1939 as a way to promote the cereal beyond the breakfast table. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Abert at the NASDAQ Market Site.
State lawmakers take steps to regulate so-called gas station heroin, the measures they want to see put into place. And a new report calls for more to be done to protect young people from the dangers of social media. The startling results of a new survey about the impacts on adolescents. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
State lawmakers are considering making a drug known as gas station heroin a controlled substance in North Carolina. It's highly addictive and widely available at convenience stores and vape shops. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the state legislative building where a panel just voted to recommend banning this. Laura.
Renee, the drug we're talking about is tianeptine. It's also known as Neptune's Fix, Tiana, or Zaza. It's easy to find online on social media, and it's also easy to find at stores near schools and neighborhoods. State lawmakers say that needs to change. Tianeptine is marketed as a dietary supplement, not a drug, but it mimics the effect of heroin on the brain at high doses. There's no age restriction on it, so even kids can buy it. The FDA issued some warnings about it earlier this year, and the companies that make it issued voluntary recalls, but it still isn't illegal, so store owners don't have to take it off their shelves. Johnson County Representative Donna White says some people who've gotten addicted to tianeptine say they had no idea what was actually in it.
You can go into any little convenience store, especially some of those that are a little bit more rural, and you can pick up stuff that will kill you, literally kill you, and it's not FDA approved, and it's on the shelf, and you can buy it.
Now, the House Substance Abuse Committee is recommending that the state take tianeptine off the shelves permanently by adding it to the controlled substances list with other highly addictive drugs. They're also recommending that schools do more to educate kids about tianeptine and other drugs, including fentanyl. The panel is also recommending state-funded positions to put monitors in restrooms in schools in every school. White says there's a lot of vaping and other use that goes on in restrooms between classes in schools, but there aren't currently enough staff to monitor all of them.
Laura Leslie, live at the Legislative Building. Laura, thanks.
Today, school leaders in Wake County will talk about the budget for the coming school year. Superintendent Robert Taylor's proposed $2.2 billion budget includes $58 million additional dollars from the county over the last year. The board will talk about the plan during a work session at 2:30 this afternoon, and their full meeting starts at 5:30. The board is due to vote on the budget next month. Book banning is on the rise at schools across the U.S. There have already been 4,300 instances of book bans during the first half of the school year. That's already more than the entire 2022-23 school year, which had 3,300 book bans. Florida topped the list with 3,100 bans in 11 school districts, followed by Wisconsin, Iowa, and Texas. The books that discuss sex, abortion, or rape are among the most censored. Other books targeted feature narratives about race, racism, and LGBTQ themes.
Now to new developments on the impact of social media on children. The American Psychological Association is out with a new report that calls for more to be done to protect young people from the potential dangers. NBC's Emily Ikeda has a closer look.
This morning, the American Psychological Association demanding change from social media platforms and head-turning report detailing what it says are psychological threats to young people. The highly respected group writing in part, platforms built for adults are not inherently suitable for youth. Youth require special protection. The APA calling out features like endless scrolling, likes and follower counts, and push notifications that it says capitalizes on developing brains that are more sensitive to impulses, social feedback, and distraction. According to a recent survey noted by the group, more than half of teens reported at least one symptom of clinical dependency on social media, something families described in today's deep dive into the impacts of screen time last fall.
It can be really addicting.
They can begin to really hinder your life more than they do help it.
Instead of liking yourself, it's how much everybody likes you.
The report also noting how the freedom to scroll around the clock has been cited as the predominant reason why adolescents are getting less than the recommended amount of sleep. It comes nearly a year after the U.S. Surgeon General issued a landmark health advisory on social media use in adolescents.
We see rates of depression and anxiety and suicide and loneliness going up among young people. And I'm concerned that social media is an important driver of that youth mental health crisis. This is the defining public health issue of our time.
The APA writing there's been few meaningful changes since then, but some social media companies disagree, including Meta, the company behind Facebook and Instagram, which recently launched nighttime nudges to push young people to close the apps and now also allows parents to schedule breaks for their kids on the platforms. Without laying out specific changes, the APA says there must be a comprehensive approach to fully address the dangers of an increasingly screen-reliant world.
That was Emily Ikeda reporting. Meta's new oversight board is reviewing the company's handling of two sexually explicit AI-generated images of female celebrities. Those images circulated on Facebook and Instagram, but Meta will not name them to prevent further harm. The company will use the two examples to assess the overall effectiveness of Meta's policies and enforcement practices around pornographic fakes created using artificial intelligence. Some industry executives have called for legislation to criminalize the creation of harmful deepfakes.
Johnston County wants its students to be aware of the consequences of dangerous driving. The school district demonstrated a mock car crash at Princeton Middle School this morning. And it looks quite real, with firefighters, EMS, a stretcher, even actors appearing to be grieving family members. It's all about making sure young drivers know what can happen if they're not careful.
All we're trying to do is plant the seed and keep something in the back of a student's mind, but hopefully they'll make the decision before they get behind the wheel of a car. That'll prevent something like this. This is a tragic thing that happens every day here in Eastern North Carolina. And we're just hoping to plant the seed that maybe it's one thing they think about before getting behind the wheel of the car.
It was Johnson County's second mock car crash presentation of the semester. And the next one is tomorrow morning at West Johnston High School, with another next Wednesday at Cleveland High School.
Looking for an exercise routine that doesn't feel like exercise? Try dancing. What it can do for your physical and mental health.
We now know the object that slammed into a Florida home wasn't just any old debris. It's space junk. NASA's explanation of what that object is and its connection to the International Space Station. Keep up with news that matters to you wherever you are by downloading the WRL News app. Skim the latest headlines, watch live newscasts, and get weather alerts right on your phone. A brand of gluten-free mini bagels is being recalled because it can contain gluten. Feel Good Foods has issued this nationwide voluntary recall due to cross-contamination. The company received one consumer report of an adverse reaction to gluten. The affected products include gluten-free plain and everything flavored cream cheese stuffed mini bagels. They're found in the frozen section of stores in a yellow box or white box with blue and white labels showing photos of the mini bagels. Both products have Best Buy dates from May 29th, 2024 to September 17th, 2025. They're listed on the bottom of the boxes. Number of children going to the ER after accidentally taking melatonin supplements is on the rise. The CDC recently found 11,000 children who went to the ER between 2019 and 2022 after taking melatonin while unsupervised. The makers of those supplements are now being asked to tighten their standards. The Council for Responsible Nutrition recommends child deterrent packaging and labels with improved safety warnings.
If you're not a fan of going to the gym or joining a fitness class, why not try dancing your way to better health? Dancing can help improve your strength, mobility, flexibility, and balance. For example, dance may require a person to stand on one leg and reach. Now, beyond the physical, dancing can also be a way to socialize with others and make you feel better all around.
There's also benefits for our mental health. So dancing helps to release endorphins, which are our feel-good chemicals, and they make us feel good after we exercise. Again, gets our heart pumping and gets us sweating, which makes us feel good afterwards.
It's important to be careful if you have trouble with your balance or are at risk for falling. Just make sure you have a chair nearby for support.
A piece of space junk came crashing through a house in Florida. Where it started its fall and why NASA is investigating further.
Plus, how you can get your hands on a chunk of a multi-million dollar settlement with Verizon. What a lovely view from Wrightsville Beach. All that sunshine there. They are sitting in the upper 70s right now, and they're a little cooler than we are. They'll stay in the 70s while we will be in the 80s this afternoon. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Join the Tar Heel Traveler tomorrow when Scott Mason treats us to good eatin' across the state. It's a restaurant special he calls Yum. From breakfast to burgers, seafood to tacos, he digs in and what a delicious helping. Watch the Tar Heel Traveler special tomorrow night at 7:30.
The Justice Department could file an antitrust suit against Live Nation as soon as next month. Live Nation owns Ticketmaster and has faced complaints it has too much influence over live events. The Justice Department has been investigating the company's practices for several years now. The probe picked up after Ticketmaster's site crashed in 2022 due to high demand for Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. If you were a Verizon Wireless customer between 2016 and 2023, the company could owe you some money. It's all part of a $100 million settlement. The case involves a lawsuit where customers claimed Verizon charged a monthly administration fee that was unfair and not adequately disclosed. The lawsuit claimed Verizon falsely advertised services at lower monthly rates than it actually charged customers and didn't disclose the administrative fees. Settlement amounts are up to $100 and will vary based on how many months the user was subjected to the charges.
Cadillac's Lyriq EVs are under investigation after several reports of brake malfunctions. General Motors acknowledged the electronic brake control module has an internal spindle that can potentially fracture. The company will send an over-the-air update that will alert drivers if the spindle fractures. No injuries or deaths have occurred yet due to the flaw.
NASA confirms a chunk of debris that hit a Florida home was ejected from the International Space Station. It was part of a pallet dumped along with 5,800 pounds of aging batteries back in March of 2021. The pallet and its batteries were expected to disintegrate while re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. That did not happen. So that object crashed through the roof of a home last month. It weighs just under 2 pounds and measures 4 inches high by 1.5 inches wide. NASA plans to conduct tests to determine how that debris survived re-entry.
Good, because we want to know if that should be a concern with space junk floating around, right?
That would hurt.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Yet another thing to worry about. Yeah. Of things falling from the sky. Raindrops might be falling, though.
They might be. Brian Schrader in the WRS Severe Weather Center. Not just yet, though. We still have some sunshine out there.
Go and enjoy this nice afternoon. It is certainly warm out there, but it is a beautiful day. Let's take a live look at the WREL Gardens. Come see those azaleas while they're in bloom. You know, we don't have too long with azaleas in bloom around here, just a few weeks. So come on out and see us anytime between sunup and sundown behind our studios on Western Boulevard. 77 degrees. Right now in the triangle, we've got that northeasterly wind at 10 miles an hour, and that indicates that cold front that we've been tracking through the morning has pushed on through. It's now in the southern portions of our viewing area. The air behind it is just slightly cooler. We're looking at 81 degrees right now in Southern Pines and Fayetteville, where that front is kind of hung up right now. It cools off a little bit as you head into the triangle, as we mentioned, with upper 70s. But take a look at the border counties. We're at 72 degrees right now in Roxboro, 73 in South Hill, Virginia. So you can see that big range in temperatures right now, and that means we're going to have a big range in high temperatures this afternoon. We don't have that summertime mugginess, though, with those summertime temperatures. Our dew point right now is at 59 degrees. That's a measure of moisture in the atmosphere, and 59 is right at the upper level of comfy. We're now starting to creep into tolerable. So we're probably going to see that for the next few days. We're not going to get into the steamy category just yet. Trust me, that's coming, but not yet. Take a look at our forecast highs today. Again, we have that wide range from right around 80 degrees in our border counties, mid-80s in the triangle, maybe touching 90 degrees in Fayetteville and the Sandhills this afternoon. We do have some high clouds. It looks pretty cloudy here on this camera in Roxboro, but we are getting some sun to get through some of those clouds at least, and we're going to see those conditions persisting through the rest of the afternoon. Not a very good chance of seeing any showers through the afternoon, but then as we get into the evening hours from around 7 o'clock this evening to around 11 o'clock or midnight, we do have a chance of seeing some showers and maybe a rumble of thunder. I think it's probably going to be confined mostly to areas from the triangle south. That's probably the best chance of seeing some of those showers later this evening. And as I mentioned, maybe a rumble of thunder. This is our future cast lightning model, putting it into motion through the rest of the afternoon. And you can see those yellows and oranges moving into the Sandhills this evening. And that's mostly where we expect to see a chance of some lightning and some thunderstorms. So from the triangle area south, just be prepared for that later tonight. Taking a look at the latest pollen count, I know a lot of people are suffering with this right now. Very high count for trees and a moderate count for grasses, with mulberry, ash, maple, and oak being the big culprits right now. We have a pretty good chance of seeing some showers tomorrow afternoon. We'll certainly see a lot of clouds, and I think in the afternoon we'll see about a 30% chance of seeing some showers right now. Kat's going to be looking at that model data this afternoon and tweaking that forecast. So check in with her beginning at 4 o'clock. Looks pretty dry for Thursday. Temperatures back up into the upper 80s. And then we're watching a front that'll bring us a chance of rain as we head into the weekend. Still working on the timing of that. At this point, it looks like Sunday may be the wetter of the 2 days. And certainly that cold front brings some cooler temperatures behind it, with highs only in the mid-60s perhaps to start the week.
All right, so reprieve from the 80s then. Serena Williams made history on the tennis court. Now it appears she has her eyes on another type of court. What the 23-time Grand Slam champion says about her possible future in the WNBA.
Winning Powerball numbers on your screen, 7, 16, 41, 56, 61. The Powerball is 23 and the Power Play is 3. We'll be right back.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
New court documents are revealing more about what happened before a mother was shot and killed during a custody exchange. Warren's show Emily Steinhoff came to Dorian Thomas's house to pick up her son, her sister's son. But Thomas would not open the door. Then after a while, he did, and he shot Steinhoff in the chest and then ran back inside to secure his gun. Thomas remains in the Johnston County Detention Center without bond.
Goldsboro police are searching for answers after four people were found dead in 4 days. The police chief says there are similarities between these deaths. They're working to find out if they were all related to fentanyl. Chanel Alves was the person found dead on Saturday. Her family tells WRL she was a mother of six and battled addiction. The family says they're still waiting on autopsy results.
State lawmakers are considering a ban on a drug known as gas station heroin. It's highly addictive and widely available at convenience stores and vape shops. Tianeptine is marked as a dietary supplement, but it mimics the effects of heroin on the brain. The FDA issued warnings about it earlier this year, but it isn't illegal. A House committee is recommending the state take tianeptine off the shelves.
Caitlin Clark is now officially a member of the Indiana Fever, and the team's fans are already filling the arena.
Indiana Fever, select Caitlin Clark.
Thousands showed up at the team's arena last night just to watch the draft pick on the big screen. More than 17,000 fans had tickets for this draft party, which the team put on to celebrate the big moment. Some of Clark's new teammates were at the party as well and shared their excitement with the fans. Clark's college rival Angel Reese is also heading to the WNBA. The Chicago Sky picked the LSU star with the 7th pick in last night's draft. Clark's Fever will play Reese's Sky for the first time on June 1st.
More basketball here tomorrow. The Harlem Globetrotters are making their way to Raleigh to help support children facing poverty. The team will play at PNC Arena, and a portion of all ticket sales will go toward Red Nose Day, an annual fundraising campaign to help keep kids safe, healthy, and educated. The Globetrotters will also be in Fayetteville Friday. Serena Williams says she would absolutely be interested in getting involved in the WNBA in the right market. In an interview with CNN, Williams said investing in women's sports is an overly safe bet, calling women's sport exciting to watch. The tennis legend had a piece of 66 startups valued at over $1 billion. Williams is already part owner of the Angel City FC soccer team and a Los Angeles-based professional golf team.
Our pet of the day is an Australian Shepherd and Cattle Dog mix from Red Barn Rescue. Dash is a 35-pound, stunning and spirited Australian Shepherd Border Collie who's just over a year old. He would be best in a home with teenagers and adults who will find him thoroughly entertaining. As his name suggests, Dash is fast, covers ground very quickly, so a fenced yard will help. If you're ready to zoom off into the sunset with Dash, please visit Red Barn Rescue and fill out an application to meet him.
Today at 4, caring for your pet should be as simple as caring for your family when it comes to insurance. 5 Underside shares what to look for when picking out a policy for your pet.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Enjoy that sunshine out there today.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.